Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be looking at Acts chapter 6. You know, one of the most tragic things about living on planet Earth is watching brilliant and talented people die young. Comedians, rock stars, rappers, and actors have been lost before their time due to poor life choices, bad health, or tragic accidents. Every generation experiences the loss of shining stars that burn out like comets, bright yet brief, like Jeff Buckley, who popularized Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah, or Ronnie Van Zant, lead singer Lynyrd Skynyrd, who brought us Freebird, one of the greatest rock ballads of all time. Both of these died at the tragically young age of 29, and Kurt Cobain died at the age of 27, shocking an entire world. Perhaps that's why Stephen in this chapter is such a shock. He lights up the pages brightly in Acts chapter 6, testifying boldly about Jesus, fiercely confronting the people of Jerusalem with their murder of Jesus. He burns brightly, yet briefly. And in this chapter, at the end, we literally see him shine. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, and let's jump in to verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Uh-oh. Trouble's brewing in the church in Jerusalem. As their numbers increase, tensions rise among Hellenistic and Hebraic Jews. Oh, wait. You didn't know there were two different kinds of Jews? Well, a Hellenistic Jew was someone who lived outside of Israel, like Paul did. Paul was raised in Turkey, and Barnabas was raised on the Isle of Cyprus. It was pretty common to watch Jerusalem swell every year around the religious festivals by upwards of a million people. Every year, the Hellenists, or Jews who lived outside of Israel, would travel many miles to Jerusalem to worship for Passover. The Hebraists, on the other hand, or the Hebraic Jews, were people like the disciples who were raised in Israel. And the Hebraic Jews were distrustful of the Hellenistic outsiders because they worried that the Hellenists were somewhat spiritually tainted because they didn't live in Israel and maybe absorb the culture of the pagan nations they lived in. Like they weren't really real Jews in many ways. They spoke different languages, had different customs. Therefore, they couldn't be fully trusted. But now, they've been brought together, the Hellenists and the Hebraics, by their new life in Jesus. But the old tensions were starting to crack to the surface, especially when the Hellenist Jewish believers felt that the food distribution to their widows was favoring the Hebraic Jews, leaving the Hellenist widows to be left out and hungry. But the 12 had a solution. Verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are well known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. You know, ethnic tensions were nothing new to the early church, and the apostles didn't run from it, but they met it head on with the wisdom you just read about. Firstly, they didn't appoint them, but allowed the Hellenists to pick their own representatives. That's wisdom. They picked 7 Hellenists to distribute food equally and equitably. But they weren't just any Hellenists. These guys were rock stars. The requirements were that they had to be, quote, full of the Spirit and wisdom, end quote. And man, were they ever. 2 of them listed here stand out in the book of Acts. In fact, the next few chapters of Acts will actually focus on these 2. First, Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith, and second, Philip, who will famously meet an Ethiopian on the road and lead him and possibly an entire nation to Jesus. Both of them would have been among those who traveled to Jerusalem from a far-off country, and most likely had been converted by Peter's preaching in the previous chapters during one of the feasts. But for now, their ministry is focused on Jerusalem to help the apostles devote themselves to hearing from God in prayer and teaching the new converts, passing the gospel on to them. Choosing these seven was a masterstroke of leadership by the apostles, and the result is found in verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Opposition arose, but it wasn't from the Hebraic Jews living in Jerusalem. One thing you'll notice in the book of Acts is that the worst persecution often comes from the Hellenistic Jews, those outside of Israel. But why is that? Well, if you grew up like Saul did in Tarsus or some other foreign city as a Hellenistic Jew, you were always fighting hard to maintain your identity as a Jew and to keep your Jewishness, your Jewish heritage, culture, and religion from being completely swallowed up by the country you're living in. You see, when Andrew and I lived in the UK, it was hard to celebrate Thanksgiving or the 4th of July for those 12 years by ourselves. No one else celebrated it with us. We were the outsiders. Plus, we had new holidays like Whitsun and Bonfire Night on November 5th. We were slowly becoming more and more British with every passing year. And that's okay if you're an American living in Britain, but it's not okay if you're Jewish living in a pagan nation. In the Old Testament, God had told them that they needed to be different than their surrounding nations. So we put things in place in the Old Testament so that those who lived outside of Israel had to fight all the more to maintain their Jewishness. Plus, when the Hebraic Jews in Israel distrust your authenticity as Jews, you tend to double down on fighting for your Jewishness even more. If you've ever heard of short man syndrome, I'm 5'6". It's when a man of modest stature picks a fight with people bigger themselves because they have something to prove or a deep insecurity to compensate for. The Hellenists had a type of spiritual short man syndrome. They had something to prove. Therefore, when Saul of Tarsus and these Jews from Alexandria and Cyrene encountered Christianity, it seemed like just one more dangerous threat to their Jewishness, and they were determined to root it out of Jerusalem. The only problem was every time they went to debate Stephen, he ran circles around them. He handed them their lunch. He stitched them up. He bagged and tagged them. Well, you get the picture. Verse 10. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. So in verse 11, they get to work undermining it. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and of God." But in verse 15, after all the lies, we read, "All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face was like the face of an angel." Here we go again. It's just like Jesus all over again. The kangaroo court, the false charges, the lies, the vitriol, the beginnings of a plot to murder another young man. But verse 15 stands out among the rabble. The thing they couldn't shake, the one glaring hole in everything, was the fact Stephen's face seemed to be shining. In context with the next chapter, when Stephen speaks about them missing the glory of God, it's an obvious reference to a supernatural and unexplainable miracle. God had been performing miracles and signs through Stephen already, like a bright and shining star that couldn't be ignored against the backdrop of a black curtain of night. But this last miracle was meant for them and them alone. And although death was beginning to close in on Stephen, he wasn't showing any signs of stopping his confrontation of their glaring inconsistencies. In fact, he was just getting started. But we'll just have to wait till the next chapter to see what Stephen said, and I'll see you there next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.